This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Christian Healthcare Ministries, an affordable, faith-based solution for Christians to the problems of rising healthcare costs. To learn more, visit chministries.org. That's chministries.org. Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown, and honored that you're tuning in today. This is a call-in show where we talk all about what the Bible says about stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory, not just talking about money, but talking about relationships, talking about parenting, talking about marriage, talking about leadership, our careers, you name it, managing all of God's blessings, His way, and for His glory. So the call-in number is 866-357-3283. Again, 866-357-3283. Or you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And as you call in, I got to let you know about some fun that I had this week. I had a blast at Cornerstone Church right here in Madison, Tennessee. And what we call Momentum, their entire church is going to go through Financial Peace University. And it's more than just the whole church going through Financial Peace University at the same time. It's just bigger than that. There's a common language that everyone can have when they're all going through it together. It kind of gets rid of the stigma of going to a financial class. A lot of people, when they're choosing whether they're going to go to a class for a certain semester when it comes to church, if they have a choice between a financial class and, let's say, Levitical law or something like that, they're going to choose the Levitical law, as boring as it may be, just to avoid the tension that comes with talking about finances. But really, really proud of Cornerstone Church. Spent a lot of time with them. And, many of you are asking, this actually... it's been a few weeks now. You were here for Financial Coach Master Training, several of you here in Nashville, and you're asking, hey, where do we go if we want you to come speak at our church or at a conference or something? So I want to make sure you guys know that. It's the phone number, if you're interested in that, is 615-620-6300. That's 615-620-6300. But really, really cheering on Cornerstone Church. Lots of churches all over the country are doing this time and time again. It's been fun to watch how God has used it. Again, the phone number here for this show, for this next 30 minutes, is 866-357-3283. And it looks like our first call that's lined up is from my old stopping grounds, Charlotte, North Carolina. This is Kenosha. Kenosha, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I'm from Indian Trail, Matthews, Monroe area.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Yeah, I spent awesome. I spent 8 years there from 2000 to 2008, and really love Charlotte.
Yes, it's a nice area.
Yeah. How can I help you today?
Well, I'm calling because my husband and I went through Financial Peace University. And we used the snowball method to clear our debt, but we became debt-free in 2014.
Good job.
Thank you. And, my husband closed out the account. He closed out the credit cards that he had, cut them up. And so this year we've been looking at purchasing a home. And so we went to get pre-qualified under my husband. And when they went to pull his credit report, they said, there is insufficient credit history for them to give him a score and for him to be qualified for a mortgage.
You're too good with your finances.
Right.
So you don't qualify.
Yes. And so they told him that he would need to open up a line of credit. So, open up a credit card in order for him to get a score so that he can get pre-qualified for the mortgage.
Yuck. So you're asking, what in the world do I do with this?
Right. So it kind of feels like, you know, we were so happy with the accomplishment, but then it kind of backfired because now we can't get pre-qualified.
Well, I mean, that's what you think right now. I know that that's definitely a disappointing feeling, but the reality is that that's not what happens when you're using all different lenders that are out there. That's just a closed door with that lender.
Okay.
Apparently a lender that doesn't understand good personal finance.
Right.
That's frustrating. So how much debt did you have, by the way?
$60,000.
And you paid it all off.
Yep, we paid it all off.
How long did it take?
It took us maybe, 14 months?
$60,000 in 14 months?
Yeah, we really put in a lot of money per month to get it cleared out. And then I had some savings as well. And so we used our savings, and then we were literally racking like $3,000 a month towards the debt.
That is
to get
awesome.
It knocked out. Yeah.
Well, folks, it is possible. I'm telling you, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I just wanted you to share a little bit of your journey just to give people hope that they can climb out as well.
Yes.
So here's the deal. You need to call Churchill Mortgage. I know there's probably more mortgage companies that do it as well, but Churchill Mortgage they actually will even work with you if you have a zero credit score.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Now, what they don't like is bad credit. You know, but lack of credit is fine. Bad credit, they still might work with you, but you're really going to have substantial assets, very little liabilities, you know, spend way less than you make, have some savings, and be a low-risk client. But when you have limited credit, or you're low to zero, I mean, don't even have any there, they love you. And they'll do what's called manual underwriting, and they'll use their brain instead of a program. And they'll say, you know what, this is a client that actually is a really good client, and we're going to have a little chat. So, and of course, you still want as much deposit as possible, and you want to make sure you stay under 25%. You know all that if you're an FPU graduate.
Yeah.
Churchill Mortgage, and I don't have contact information on me right now, but all you got to do is stewardship.com, and we've got a link for Churchill Mortgage right there.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much. I wouldn't even have thought of that, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, it is rare. You know, there's not a whole lot out there that still, you know, don't throw you through a program and throw you through some kind of like processing where it just spits out a credit score and a yes or a no. They actually sit down and actually analyze your finances. So you should be good.
Okay, sounds good. So we don't have to open up the credit card or do that borrowing for this.
I am begging you not to.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks for the call.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
Christians have an alternative to overwhelming health insurance costs. Christian Healthcare Ministries, the original healthcare sharing ministry, satisfies its members' Affordable Care Act eligibility. Christian Healthcare Ministries isn't insurance. It's 70% less expensive than the national health insurance average. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a Better Business Bureau A-plus accredited charity. To learn more, visit chministries.org. That's chministries.org. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a proud sponsor of Dave Ramsey Live Events.
All right, folks, we've got Rich, and he is calling. Hopefully, he is Rich. Rich calling in from Holland, Michigan. Rich, how are you?
Hey, Chris. I'm good. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I help?
My question is, my wife and I own our own business, and we've been very blessed, and we're very financially secure. I've got we're in our mid-40s. I've got three children about to enter. They're all in early high school years. And as we look ahead to college and retirement, we've got about $650,000 in mutual funds and equities. Our house will be paid off within 2 years completely, 15 years early on a 30-year mortgage.
Way to go.
I know, we're very pleased, but I get to the point where I have people around me who I trust and value their opinion tell me that I, at this point, really need to start to hedge my bets and diversify my portfolio into precious metals, especially with elections pending, never knowing what the valuation of the dollar is going to do. So I guess my question is, at what point do you start to seriously consider adding precious metals to your portfolio, and in what percentage or ratio?
Yeah, good question. Good question. Well, they're right on the diversification piece. Ecclesiastes 11:2 says, "But divide your investments, for you do not know what risks might lie ahead." And whether it be political, or whether it be the value of the dollar, or whether it be some kind of other thing, you want to make sure that you divide up your investments. So when you're investing, what you want to do is you want to look for three things. And you seem to be pretty polished financially, so this will not come to any surprise to you. But tax advantages, number one, you want to think long-term, and you want to think diversification. Those are the three things you're looking for. And so when you are, you said you're already in mutual funds. And so as you look into mutual funds, or you look into a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA or your 401k at work, what you want to do is you want to split those up into 25% into aggressive, 25% into growth stocks, 25% into growth and income, and 25% into international. That right there, you've got, you're already diversified into 90 to 200 companies. Then on top of that, you're diversified within that. And so you've kind of diversified your diversification. And so for me, I think you're doing great. Now, that's all you need to do. I don't think you need to get into precious metals. And what I would do is I'd ask them, because it doesn't mean they're bad people. It doesn't mean they have bad motives. I think what happened was they had somebody that's went and talked to them, just like they're talking to you, that had just a little bit of a glimpse of education, and said, hey, here's what metals have done over these 18 months. Here's what metals have done for the last 4 years. But if you look historically at precious metals over the last, let's say, 80, 100 years, you're looking at about a 4% return. What you're currently invested in is doing better than that. So I do not like precious metals. It's not diversified. I like you doing exactly what you're doing. And when here's the deal. When you pay off that house and you're socking away money like crazy, this way, you're going to be doing so well, you're going to be laughing at this conversation. And here's the deal. They don't have any historical basis on the results of precious metals, and they don't have any historical basis on the uncertainty with all the politics right now. They don't. There's no historical basis that has crushed the economy ever, a long term. So
that's just fear speaking.
Yeah, yep. And God's not given us a spirit of fear. And there's nothing historical at all that says that this stuff that we're experiencing right now politically is going to completely destroy our world. There's not one. I mean, there's not one 10-year period in the stock market's history that went down. And there's only one or two that are five-year periods, and they rebounded immediately. And you just think about where we were in 2007. Fear, 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 right? And where are we today? And you think about just recently with the Brexit stuff. Fear, 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 fear. Oh my goodness. Sell, 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 sell. And within what, a week, we were back higher than ever. So
right.
I don't want you to make decisions on fear. I want you to make decisions on Ecclesiastes 11:2. Divide your investments in many places because there's risks. They are going to lie ahead. So just stay nice and spread out. And remember that fear is not from God.
Alrighty.
I obviously have strong opinions.
Well, that's why we've asked.
Yeah, that's cool, man. You're doing so great financially, and you're going to be just fine. You're going to be doing great. Just stay diversified long term and think through the tax advantages.
Will do. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thanks, Rich. All right, folks. If you're looking to sell your home, did you know that the real estate agent that you choose has the power to make or break your home sale? I know there's hundreds of agents right there where you live, so how do you know which one's the right one? Well, first, I recommend finding an agent with the heart of a teacher who has at least 5 years of experience and closes a minimum of 40 homes per year. And that's why we created the Endorsed Local Provider Program. All of our real estate ELPs are in the top 5% of agents nationwide. If you're looking for a top agent that you can trust with your largest financial asset, make sure that you work with the very best. And be sure to download a copy of the free home seller's guide that's there too. Step-by-step guidance on how the home selling process works. Don't cheat yourself out of thousands of dollars when you sell your home. Go to stewardship.com, click on Chris Recommends, then click on Find an ELP to get started.
appreciate you joining us today for Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call us at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And leave us a voicemail. Let's continue now with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
So I got a great email here regarding dreams and how they can happen. This email comes in from Becky. She says, "Hey, Chris and crew, my husband and I are in our 20s and 30s and just graduated from Baby Step 3. If she's referring to Financial Peace University, there's these baby steps. And some of you are new to the show. And if you want to know more about that, check out stewardship.com. It's called Financial Peace University. And she's referring to Baby Step 3. She just graduated out of this Baby Step 3, three steps out of seven. We're getting things set up for Baby Steps 4, 5, and 6. And to give you some context, we have a long-term future call to open a community center in our area. Possibly in retirement. We're discussing our game plan and our plans for giving moving forward. We're trying to decide whether to begin a generosity fund to meet needs in our church or community along the way, or if our generosity money should be invested in mutual funds to meet larger needs and fund the community center down the road, or potentially a combination of both. Do you have any scriptural wisdom to guide this choice? Or will it be a matter of personal decision?" Well, Becky, there's first of all, I love your heart to make a difference. That's huge. There's no scriptures that I'm aware of that would point towards one over the other. You could stretch parable of the talents a little bit and just say, "Hey, listen, if we were to put everything in a mutual fund, it'd actually grow to a bigger number and you'd actually create more giving later." However, that would contradict all the other giving verses that tell us to give along the way as well. So I really do think it's a combination of both. But here's what I would have you pray about, Becky. Is God calling you to own a community center or run a community center? Huge, huge difference. And there's a huge need right now for people to run one and not necessarily own one. You know, I know a lot of city-funded community centers that don't have any quality people running them. And this way, you wouldn't have the liability. You wouldn't have this investment that really doesn't necessarily appreciate much. It doesn't have any resale value. So from a financial standpoint, maybe it's just to run one. And you start a 501c3, and someone donates you a building, or you get the funding. If you've got that big of a heart to put that much energy into your community, there's investors that'll fund it. So that would be my advice. I'd pray about whether you should own one or you should run one. And if it's own one, there's other ways to generate the funds. Either way, the thing for all of us to learn is that the only way that's possible to do it well is having spiritual margin, having financial margin, having emotional margin, having relational margin, to be able to actually see the needs and meet the needs. And so all of us, when we're thinking about dreaming and what our future looks like, we got to ask ourselves, how do we set ourselves up for more and more margin? Not so we can be lazy, but so that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus. Where there is no margin, there is no ministry. Where there is no margin, there is no ministry. And once again, Becky, I want to thank you for your generosity. It's proof that you're a grateful person. And as we all know, generosity is gratitude in action. All right, looks like we got a call from Miami, Florida, my old stopping grounds. This is Peter. Peter, how you doing?
I'm great, Chris. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, how can I help?
Well, we have gone through financial peace, my wife and I, and we're excited to say that we're debt-free.
Good job. Way to go.
Hey, praise God. All glory for him, man. And we're glad to be here. We are planning to go on the mission field in a couple years, which is important to know because we're not always going to have income. But we've managed to save $35,000 separate from our emergency fund, and was seeking some advice on what to do with that money, where we could play it, either for retirement or, you know, for future, to be able to have some financial security.
Yeah, good question. So where are you headed?
We're not sure yet. Have you heard of Missionary Aviation Fellowship?
I haven't.
Okay, well, they're a missionary pilot organization. That's what I'm preparing for. So it's a 2-year track to get on with them. My wife's a nurse, and I'm a pilot, so we'll go out and help with disaster relief, Bible translation to the ends of the earth as God needs.
No, I love it. That's very cool. Well, if it's in a few years from now, you know, there's some things you need to do with it before then, and then obviously after you leave. I think the biggest thing to me, because there's very little difference in what you would do with it if you were going to the mission field or not. We would have you have your emergency fund in a money market account. You have that, and make sure that it's available to you. So if you're on the mission field, it's going to be a little bit more tricky because you're not going to have banks on every corner, probably. And so you're going to want to make sure that it's got an online component where you can access that money if you needed it to make sure that your family avoids risk. But the additional money, usually for this kind of scenario, for anybody, mission field or not, anything above and beyond the emergency fund, I'd have them invest it into retirement. And especially if you're in an organization that maybe that's not one of their strengths, is to provide you a great retirement option like a 401k or a 403b. I would do that with a Roth IRA. I'd put it in a Roth IRA and have it sit there until retirement. Now, if you think you're going to be in a pretty high risk situation where you could be income-less, which, you know, a lot of missions organizations, that's a reality, you might want to beef up that emergency fund bigger than 3 to 6 months and be a little bit more risk averse when it comes to that. Now, if you've already got retirement, if you're listening in and you're in the situation and you've already got kind of retirement going, you got 15% of your retirement going every month, then maybe you just want to, you know, put it in an additional mutual fund that's not necessarily retirement, but it's something that you're going to let sit there more than 5 or 7 years, and it's going to gain interest. And after 7 years, the interest gained is going to be, you know, justify the fees that are associated with the mutual fund. So you've got lots of options. I don't know much that's different because you're going to the mission field, except for beefing up that emergency fund a little bit bigger than most folks would.
Absolutely. No, yeah, and that's great. That's great advice. We were just concerned because we're not going to be able to put into it like we would if we were on a 401k or a 403, or Roth IRA, I mean, or a 403b.
Yeah.
So we're looking at those options. We're also looking at possibly purchasing a place and then having it rented while we're gone. So we're weighing those, you know, balances between that and doing the Roth IRA.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that option. I'm glad you mentioned that because I want something that you've got control over. And if you've got it in a Roth, or you have it in some kind of retirement instrument that you can go online and you can you know, change around the diversification piece of it, that's going to be great for you. But if you've got a tenant that's being less than brilliant, and you're not around, that's a really bad situation. I've had several out-of-town tenants before I got my head screwed on right, and that was not a good experience. I wouldn't want you to do that.
Okay, no, that's great.
So you always want to make sure that you keep as much control as possible, and I'm talking about earthly control. I know, yeah, God's in control, but as much earthly wisdom as possible. So you want to keep as much control. How often do you think you're going to be able to come back to the States?
It's supposed to be furlough 1 year every 4 years.
Okay. Yeah. So there's not enough consistency there. So yeah, I would make sure that whatever your investments you do, that you make sure that you have some online access.
Okay. No, that's great advice. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Peter.
All right. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. All right, folks, got a Twitter shout out to DK Ballman. DK Ballman on Twitter. Check this out. I've just started my second month of being on a budget and tithing, and already God is showing up in both big and small ways. So I hope that's encouraging to you and then all of our listeners as well, that budget is not supposed to be restrictive. It actually gives us a lot of freedom. Well, folks, I hope you've enjoyed today's show. I want to ask you bluntly, would you consider sharing the show? I don't know how you do that, whether Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, some other social platform. Maybe it's an email, maybe it's a text, but send a link to somebody. But share the show as this stewardship community continues to grow. God is using your sharing in a powerful way. Don't forget to visit stewardship.com, click on Chris Recommends, and click on Find an ELP. For those of you who are looking for a qualified and endorsed and a supported real estate agent that's right there in your area, we gladly provide those for you. All you got to do is click on Chris Recommends and click on Find an ELP. Folks, it has been a pleasure. And until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.